When Mackenzie Bauer's boyfriend lost his wallet, he struggled to replace it. Everything was big, bulky, or boring. After marrying in 2015, they raised some $60,000 from Kickstarter and launched Thread Wallets with a line of slim, stylish wallets that can be attached to a keychain, lanyard, or phone. They've since expanded into other accessories like lip balm holders and crossbody bags, and they sell their products in 600 stores like Zumiez and Scheels. Plus, they create corporate swag for Coca-Cola and Qualtrics and other companies. Mackenzie's goal is to empower individuals to carry on through both the products she sells and the lifestyle she promotes. Since the early days, she gravitated toward the marketing aspects of her business and ran as the CMO until spring of 2021, when she stepped back to pursue personal projects and to focus on family. In the years that she was CMO, Thread was ranked one of the fastest growing companies in Utah and appeared twice on the Inc. 500. Mackenzie is a fearless advocate for women's equality, and today we talk a lot about the power of networking, masterminding, and getting women together to inspire one another. If you are a woman who needs a burst of energy and motivation to go after something you really believe in, this episode is tailored just for you. Mackenzie, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so excited to see you again. We got to meet during Sundance Film Festival. That was so fun. Yeah, and I've been familiar with your products for a long time, but I'm just kind of getting to know you. So for anyone who's not familiar with you, can you tell us just a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yes. That's always like the hardest question, because people preface that, like, tell us a little bit about yourself. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, this is like, what do you want me to focus on?
Right.
So my husband and I, I think the most interesting thing to people is that back in 2015, my husband and I started a company together called Thread Wallets. And the idea originated in 2014, before we were even married, we were just dating. And then it progressed as we were dating, got engaged, married. And when we were both like graduating from college and done with college, we were kind of at the crossroads at the beginning of 2015, like, hey, what do we do with our lives? And we'd had this little idea, and we'd been selling our products at farmers markets and like at small little boutiques here in Utah County. And we just decided to go for it. So that was January 1 of 2015 is when we incorporated as an LLC. And then we just went for it, him and I together. And we've been at it for over 9 years now. So kind of crazy. Like, I guess if you count 2014, we've been at it for 10 years, which is just crazy.
Yeah. That's so awesome. So that was your business. And then what about as a woman, a wife, a mom, all of those things?
Yeah, that's another kind of loaded question. When I started the business with my husband back in 2015, I had just graduated from BYU Hawaii. Mm-hmm. I did all my education out there. It's a small school on the North Shore of Oahu. And I studied international cultural studies and had an emphasis in peace building. So my focus was on like mediation and conflict resolution.
Okay.
And my initial plan was to go and get a law degree and then get a master's in conflict resolution. But I met my husband so quickly after graduating. And then we started like working on this idea together that was originally his idea, but became a passion of mine as well, as we were building it together. So that was kind of, yeah, that's a little bit of my background. And then once we got married, that kind of got set to the side, which like every now and then I look back on that with like, not regret, but like a little like, oh, did I leave something behind that was so fulfilling to me? And so such a big part of my identity at the time, but I've come to terms with that. And I feel like I've incorporated, my desire to like help people connect and like learn and grow and navigate conflict in other ways in my life. But we started our family in 2017. We got married in 2014 and we had our first daughter in 2017. So we now have three little girls. Ray's our oldest, she's 7. And then we have a 4-year-old named Scotty and a 1-year-old named Sunny. And they are just the absolute best. So fun. We're just a girl gang and I wouldn't have it any other way. It's so fun and so fulfilling. And trying to think what else. I love reading. I used to not be a big reader, but I fell in love with it last year. I think I finished almost 60 books last year, which is just like crazy to me. So I like love reading. I've recently developed like an obscene obsession with quilting. I am
Oh.
a granny and I love quilting. My
Oh.
husband got me a sewing machine for Christmas because that was something like when we started our business, I had a sewing machine and that's like I started helping my husband sew the wallets that we were selling. And I really did enjoy sewing. Like I would buy clothes at like Salvation Army or whatever and I'd like hem them, like very basic, but I did enjoy it. But again, that kind of got like pushed to the side because of our focus on growing our business. But he got me a sewing machine for Christmas and I love it. Like almost every day I'm like looking at fabrics and quilt patterns and just different designs or techniques and it's been so fun.
That's so fun. I love that. Okay, and then a huge part of your life too is female founders only. So let's talk about that and why that is a passion of yours and why you started that.
Well, over the course of like running my business with my husband, I've interacted with a lot of female founders and entrepreneurs, and there's just a lot working against us. I'm not sure how many in your audience are either starting something or have started something or have an idea. I know your podcast isn't like focused on business, but I think almost any mom at some point when you're talking to them, they're like, oh, I had this idea about like this product for like a diaper bag or a baby shoe or like so many ideas you see that are huge successes come from like an idea that a mom had. So anyway, I was in this, I over the course, sorry, over the course of like starting our business, I've just recognized that there's so many women who are starting things or have ideas but don't feel like they have the support they need. And I have gone to a lot of networking events, and oftentimes they're tailored towards men, or you go in and there's just like a lot of men. And especially in Utah, there's a big emphasis on tech, and I think women tend to gravitate towards consumer goods because, like I said, we're using products every day, whether it's like skincare or baby products or household items that we're like, this could be better. So I think women are constantly like analyzing things in their life that could be fixed to be better and quicker and more efficient. And there's just not a good support system. And you go to these events and you talk to a lot of men and there's definitely a different attitude about business and like success and growth amongst men than there is women. Like I just met with a group of two women, not even a group, two women who started a business and they're like conversation around their business was like, oh, we're like such babies, we're so little. And I was asking them their numbers, and I was like, you guys are not a baby. Like, this is incredible to have done this as two women. And I think we just don't have that insight. Like, a lot of us, like for me, like I didn't go to school to become an entrepreneur or like study business. I didn't study marketing or economics, nothing like finances. I didn't study anything regarding this journey that my life has taken. And so I've just become super passionate about helping elevate women's voices in the like entrepreneurial like sphere. There's a lot of data that shows that when women are involved in creating businesses and like job growth in like the countries, like it affects economies at like a really remarkable level. Like it has such a huge impact when women are involved. And so I've been a working mom, and so I just feel like, I don't know if you can tell, but I just feel very passionate about supporting women when they have an idea or a desire to start something. And that could be like obviously a business idea, but also just like pursuing your talents and your passions, like reading or quilting, or I have a friend that's like so good with sourdough and she's like started an Instagram account, right? And I think we feel like, oh, this talent isn't gonna like go, like it's just something that can bless my family. But I think we're given so many talents and gifts that can be used to uplift so many around us. And I think social media is an incredibly beautiful platform when used in the right way to like uplift people and share our talents and our gifts with each other. So, yeah, I just am very passionate about women. I love women. I love supporting them, standing up for them. Yeah, doing whatever I can to help women feel like they're fulfilling their calling in life, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I love that. And I also am very passionate about social media can be used for good. It's neither, it's not necessarily a good or bad thing. It's just a neutral thing depending on how you use it.
Yes.
But I wanted to go back to something you said about, like, sometimes there's, as a woman, it can feel a little, you can feel displaced as far as like having a seat at the table or being able to talk business. And I specifically remember, and this isn't like a call out to anyone, because I know some of my neighbors and people that I go to church with listen to this podcast. So this isn't pointing fingers, but it just was, it's a memory that sticks out to me that a couple of years ago, I was at a youth conference with a bunch of adult leaders, were there, and the kids were all playing. I mean, kids, they're teenagers, but they were all like having a good time. And then there were a bunch of men that were standing together in a circle and they were all talking about business. And there was a part of me that was like, oh my gosh, I want to be in on that conversation. Like, I want to hear what they're saying. I want to, like, I have things to say. And I just felt like out of place. And these were like CEOs of huge companies and lawyers and, just people who like really are immersed in business. And I just felt funny and intimidated. I felt like I couldn't approach that, or like that it would have been silly, that I would have looked dumb,
Yeah.
trying to like.
That's such a shame, right? And I think every woman has felt that at some point, like
Yeah.
for whatever it is, whether it's again like starting something or wanting to pursue your own passion. Like I know some people in their marriages, it's like, oh, I'd be silly to. I think my mom even felt this at some points because she was just like, my role is to be like the homemaker and like make sure everything is running well at home, which is great and so beautiful in a lot of ways too. But then I think like she's felt, I love my parents and they're amazing, but belittled by even my dad. Like, I want to do this. Like, I want to travel. Let's do this. And he's just kind of like, yeah, like that doesn't fit the mold. Like, that's not what we do. And I think, yeah, like empowering yourself in that situation or women in any of those situations to be like, no, I belong here is, and in this conversation is so important for us all to do. There's a friend of mine who's a very successful entrepreneur and has been a CEO. She's a very qualified woman in terms of her career, but she is known for saying that if you're lucky enough to have a seat at the table, you should always pull up another's chair for someone else.
Oh,
And
I love that.
yeah, and I just love that. Like, if you were to step into that, and I think that goes for women and men, right? Like those men in that circle should have had the like foresight, or not the foresight, the awareness to like include women in that circle, right? Like I think that there's a level of like, hey, there's probably women here. Like I think that it just goes to men as well. Like it's not just women. If you have a seat at the table, share the seat with somebody else. But like men should also be aware, like, if I'm lucky enough to be in the position I am, then I should always be inviting others into this, men or women.
Yeah, and I think that they, any one of those individual men would have happily talked to me about business. I just think that it's, as a woman, sometimes you can feel like, and actually, to paint a better picture, the women were all hanging out but talking about different things, and it depends on where you live, right? But where I live, a majority of the moms are stay-at-home moms, and a majority of the men leave the home and go work, outside of the home every day. And so, and I've talked to friends about that here who do work and have, or they have, sorry, everyone works, every mom works their butt off. But
Yes, everyone
I mean,
works.
like, women
Have a
who
career.
have a career outside of the home. And, one of my friends was like, oh, when I lived in LA, like I, and she's a member of my church. She was like, when we had to have like, she was in like a Relief Society presidency, which is like the women that are in charge of kind of like overseeing all the other women in the congregation. And she was like, when I lived in LA, we had to have all of our meetings in the evening because all of us worked. So that was the only time we could all meet. And it's been hard. She was telling me at the time, this was years ago when I lived in San Clemente, she said, it's been hard for me living in an area where no one else shares that dynamic. And so I feel kind of like the odd duck when I have to say, like, oh, I can't do that in the middle of the workday. I'm working. And I've struggled with that too. But anyway, in that scenario, it was like all the women were talking about, I don't even remember what, but I remember I could hear the men talking about business. And I was like, I'm so much more interested in that conversation. And, but I felt intimidated. So what I wanted to, lead into is what I think is so cool that you're doing, where you gather women, where they do feel like they have other people to connect with who are kind of in that same boat. And when I've had experiences like that, they've been some of the most rewarding. And it's always like a level up for me when I get around other women, whether it's for like an evening or a few days or, you know, like what you do. So I'd love to talk about that.
Yeah, I think I was literally just talking about this with some friends the other day, and I would love to dive more. I've read a lot about, I'm like a very like big like empower women type person, big feminist, which is a trigger word or like a word that a lot of people try to avoid, but I am, and I've read a lot of books that I about it, but I think that I would love to do more research about like our biological need to connect as women. I think it's so real. Like, I think that we really need female friendships and connection in order to survive. Like, if you look at like tribal ancestry and things like that, and tribes, like indigenous tribes around the world, like it is that it takes a village mindset. Like, it's all the women helping each other and the families coming together to nurture the kids and take care of the kids and tend to the fields together. Like, it's a very like communal effort. And I think our society has become very individualistic and focused on like the self. But when you get in these settings where you're surrounded by like women who are facing similar struggles or just, yeah, like you said, you don't know what those women were talking about. And like, I've been in circles where I go to dinner with my husband and like a group of friends, and a lot of our friends just happen to be entrepreneurs because that's what we're doing in life right now. And the moms will be talking about like kid issues with their kids, and then the men will start talking about like work things. And I'm always like one ear plugged into both conversations. Like, oh, I want to say something about like how hard it is to raise kids. And then I also want to talk about like this cool marketing campaign. Like, it's so hard. But I think something that I've recently learned about is called dialectical thinking, and it's switching your buts in a sentence like, oh, I really want to be a good mom, but I have to go to work. Or like, I really want to be there for my kids and like take them to classes and take them to school and pick up and do all the drop-offs, but I have to be here at the same time. And when you say but, it's almost like saying, I want that, but it's just not as important as this over here, when that's just not true, right? Like, both are equally as important. So replacing your buts with ands. So like, I want to be home with my kids and I want to pick them up and I need to be at work today. Like, that has been such a powerful shift in my mind to be like, and both of these things can be true. And I think when you get in groups of women, the point that I'm getting at is I think when you get in groups of women, you understand that, like, you begin seeing that play out. Like, oh, it can be okay to think that motherhood is beautiful and amazing and magical, and seeing your kids grow up is emotional and it's really exhausting. And I really want to get out of the house sometimes. And I really would like to ship them off for a week so that I can have some alone time, right? And both of those things can be true without feeling guilt about one or the other, like regret about one of the other, which is hard to navigate. But I think when you get in these groups of women and you see us all trying to juggle all those things, all the complexities and the nuances of life, it begins to like settle your soul, kind of. Like, you're like, oh, like I can do this. Or like, oh, I think I'm actually doing an okay job. Like, I feel like I'm doing a crap job at being a mom, but I'm actually okay. Like, and it's just so nurturing.
I think every mom feels that way.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Every day, right?
I don't know that I've ever met a mom who's like, I'm nailing it. I have it
Yeah.
figured out.
No, it's so hard. I had a friend call me the other day because my middle child is a lot more like opinionated and fiery and spirited, and that's caused a lot of like internal, like me to look internally a lot as I navigate like motherhood and how I mother her. And so a friend, her child's going through a little hard moment, and she called me and was just like, what did you do? Like, how did you navigate this with Scotty? And I was like, I can tell you what I did, but honestly, like, you're doing a good job. Like, and I think every mom needs to hear that, right? Every woman needs to hear that. Like, you are doing a good job. Like, if you wake up and your kid watches an hour of cartoons so that you can shower and get ready and read a book, if that's what you want to do, guess what? You're doing a good job. Like, that's fine. If your kids eat McDonald's 3 nights in a week, like, that's fine. You're doing a good job. Like, it's very, life is just overwhelming. Running a business is overwhelming. Being a mom is overwhelming. Like, trying to make sure that your needs are met as a creative individual. Like, you've hinted at your like religion and your spirituality, and I think that there's a quote from one of the leaders of our church. We share the same like religious background, and I'd have to look it up, but just that basically like the desire to create is what makes us like the most godlike. And not just in terms of like having kids, but like creativity. And I think that like, yeah, like when what I was getting at is like motherhood is hard, building a business is hard, making sure that your passions and your talents and like your desire to create whatever that looks like for you are being fulfilled. Like, it's all hard and really beautiful at the same time.
That's so true. And I love that permission to create. That's helped me a lot for sure, to just feel like I'm an individual outside of all of the tasks and all of the needs and all of the, just trying to survive every day. That's kind of awakened me and helped me to feel like a person and not just like a task master or whatever. So Mackenzie, why did you decide to start gathering women? Like, why was that important? Where did that idea come from? And what have you kind of seen from doing that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So a few things, and I'm a rambler, as we've been talking. I'm like, man, I get like fired and I just start rambling. So if I ramble too much, you can cut me off. But I got invited to go on a trip with a group of women in 2022, in the summer of 2022. An organization flew me and a group of women out to Israel. We it was all of the women that were on the trip were Forbes 30 Under 30 alumni. So this organization took like there was probably 30, 40 of us women that went out to Israel with this nonprofit who focused on educating people about like issues in Israel and like the Jewish culture. And we went out there and it was so profound and so beautiful. Like, nothing brings you together like travel. Like, nothing makes you connect with people when you're all outside of your comfort zone. You all have like the distractions of everyday life like miles and miles away, and your only focus is to like connect with each other. So I had this really beautiful experience in Israel, life-changing, I mean, for many reasons, spiritually, business-wise. I met some incredible connections. But I came home and I was like, I have to facilitate really like opportunities like that for other women, specifically like in business, like women who are starting businesses, because it can feel really lonely and overwhelming and confusing at times, and you're constantly battling. Should I be spending more time on my business? Should I be spending more time at home? Like, all these things. So I partnered with my friend Kylie, who runs a company called Okinawa Expeditions, and she plans excursions. It's a travel agency. And she's planned trips all over the world and has traveled to some like 100 and something countries. She's just remarkable. So we partnered, and last year we took two groups of women, one to Glacier National Park in Montana, and then we did a trip with a group of women to Morocco. And it was honestly exactly what I thought it would be. It was life-changing and so fun and so beautiful. And I just like from my experience and my need to feel connected to women is what sprouted this idea. I think I kind of mentioned hinted at it at the beginning of this episode that when I got married, like I kind of set aside my degree and things that I were passionate about to like really focus on the business. And when I got married, I was kind of like, okay, my whole energy and time needs to be focused on growing the business, because that's what our goal is right now, is to make this work to provide for our needs and my marriage. And in that, I feel like I kind of lost myself. Like, I didn't have like a group of girlfriends that I hung out with. I didn't have like hobbies that I spent time with and working on and developing. I didn't have like talents outside of what I was becoming known for in the business world. And it was kind of this trip that I think like awakened my soul and my heart to be like, oh my gosh, like I've been missing like this deep female connection and opportunities to grow my own talents and abilities. And I would love to provide those same opportunities for women, because if I'm feeling that way, probably a lot of other women have kind of lost themselves in this like pursuit of growing their business and focusing on their kids and their marriage. And so that was kind of the impetus for female founders and just why I felt like it was so needed and important for women to connect and get together and meet. And I think there's a level of vulnerability that comes when you're meeting with only women who have started businesses. When you're
Yeah.
with some men, I think that you feel self-conscious, you might feel inadequate, that your numbers aren't as big as theirs. And there's just a different level, I think, of like humility and vulnerability and acceptance of like, this is where I'm at when you're just with women. Like, I'm really proud to say that I, for the most part, from what I saw, like there wasn't that competition that you sometimes feel wary of with like large groups of women. It was just like, I'm here to support you. I love you. And I'm so excited for you and the success of your business and all the cool things that you're doing. How can I help you? And then that was just always returned from individual to individual. So it was really cool. And we still have a group chat that we're like constantly. I mean, Glacier was back in July of 2023, and Morocco was end of August, beginning of September. And like, I get messages from the groups of women like regularly, like, hey, what are you guys doing for this? Like, I have a product launch. Can you help me with that? Or like, hey, someone messaged the other day, like, how much are you paying your nannies? I have no idea what to pay. And it's just like all of a sudden, we have this beautiful group of women who are like in this together, supporting each other. And it's been a really, like, probably one of the greatest gifts of my life, honestly, to see these women like come together and help each other and, yeah, just cheer each other on. It's awesome.
That's so great. And I mean, I really want to go on one of your trips sometime because,
Hoping that you can come.
yeah, I hope so. I really, it has, for anyone who's listening to this and like thinking, oh, that sounds fun or that sounds nice, but it might be really hard to get away or it might be hard to spend money on myself or whatever. The times that I have done things like that in the last 11 years that I've been doing, you know, running a business, those have been the most, I mean, honestly, like I've been to so many conferences and done lots of things that are supposed to get, you know, whatever, help me level up or help me learn new things or help me to network or whatever. And it's always been either when I've gone on a trip and that is the purpose, or even when I've gone to conferences and, you know, maybe I pick up a little bit here and there, but it's the conversations in between and after and in our pajamas at the hotel at night that, like, that's where you really get the most value out of things like that. So I think what you're
What I'm
doing
really
is cool.
proud of is I think when I started, it was kind of like, okay, there will be like tactical like advice and things that like be very business focused. But I feel like there's like, as I've kind of done this and navigated the growth of what Female Founders Only is, I don't think that that's needed. I think that there's like lots of other ways to learn. Like there's tutorials and stuff out there that you can learn all the tactical stuff about business. But what I've seen over the course of like running these retreats for women in business and then like events outside of these is that I think women just want to connect. It's like, I just want to have conversations with you. And that's where like the real, like you were saying, like when you go to the conferences and it's the hotel, like late night conversations in your hotel room, it's like the conversations that you're allowing people and like allowing people to have and the time that you're giving them to just have conversations without any distractions. Like, let me check my email and I've got to run here to this meeting and that. It's like, no, we're just here to talk and learn. That's where like the real learning and like the magic happens, I believe.
So if it's someone who maybe is not a business owner, but is a mom who's listening to this or a woman who's listening to this, how do you suggest that maybe they can create that even if they're not going to go like on a trip with other female
Yeah.
founders and entrepreneurs?
I've like had to make like a whole like mental mindset shift in my life. I feel like in high school and when I was younger, it was kind of like, oh, people aren't inviting me. Like I need to be like, if I'm not being invited, then I'm like being excluded and like pity me. Like that's like my life is hard kind of thing. But like as I've entered adulthood, I've realized like the power of being the one to invite. Like if other people, if you're feeling like you're not being included, there are 10 other people in your neighborhood, 15 other people that are feeling the exact same way. Like no one's including me. Like I want friends, but I don't know how to make them. I want a community of women to like rally around me when I have my baby because my family lives 1,000 miles away on the other side of the country, whatever it is, you know, like I need that, but like nobody's like, I don't have a group of women. It's like you have to be the one to include. And I've learned that. So I've tried to implement that, because it's one thing to learn it, but then there's another thing to implement it in your life. So again, back in 2022, after I went on this trip to Israel, it was like, I need like regular female connection, and I have to be the one to facilitate it, because everyone's busy. And if I try to wait around for someone to invite me to something, then like my cup will never be full. And so I had seen some other friends have a cookbook club on social media, and I was like, okay, I love food. I'm a huge foodie, and I love connecting with women. So I'm going to mesh the two, and I'm going to start a cookbook club. And I reached out to just a ton of different friends, and I invited like anybody and everybody that I could. Some women said like, yeah, I have time for that. Yeah, like I'm sorry, I don't have it time for that right now, or I'm already in a cookbook club. And we started that back in, I think our first one was August of 2020. Two and yeah, 2022, and we've been going strong ever since. We meet monthly, and every person in the group, there's like 20 of us now. It's gotten pretty big, but there's one person hosts every month, and they choose a cookbook, and we all make food out of the cookbook, and we come together, and we're usually together for like 3, 3.5 hours. Like we get together around 7 or 8, and we're there till like midnight sometimes, just chatting, laughing, and talking about how yummy the food is, talking about all the books we're reading, or Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, like all the things. And it has become one of, I said this about female founders being like one of the greatest gifts in my life to witness like women connecting, but this has also become like such a like a staple in my life. Like this monthly gathering with women over food. I think there's something about that too, like nourishing my soul and my belly. But yeah, we meet and then we have a group text conversation that we're messaging in probably daily. Like, hey, again, I have a question about motherhood, or has anyone ever had their kid not be able to like do this or this sort of rash? Like, what did you guys do? Or like, I have a UTI and it's my first one. Like, what am I gonna do? Like, tell me all your advice. And it's that type of like community that you don't have with other people, like with even with my husband. Like I love my husband and he's my number one, right? But like there's just some things that like he's not ever going to connect with me about, and that's okay. And I think when I first got married, I felt this need to have my marriage fulfill every part of me. It was like, this is my best friend. Like I married my best friend, so my best friend should want to talk to me about quilting and like skincare and Travis Kelce and the book that I'm reading. And it's like, yes, he can hear about those things, but like oftentimes it's not as like deep and connecting as like it is with these other women. Like, and it just fulfills a different part of your yeah, I guess it just fills a different part of your cup. Like, and I realized that after years of marriage, where it was like I was depending on my husband to meet every single one of my needs. Like, he's my emotional support. He's my, should be my gym buddy, and he should be my business partner, and he's everything. And it was like, no, this is not sustainable. Like, we're, like, I'm exhausting to him because I'm depending on him for everything. And that's not healthy. Like, it was interdependent instead of being like codependent on each other. Like, I love you, but I'm going to acknowledge that you have needs and like interests and passions and hobbies outside of the ones that I can help you fulfill. And for my husband, he has his skateboarding group. Like, he goes skating and he plays soccer with his buddies every morning, like, and a couple times in the evening. And he has a group of guys that they do a guides trip every year. And I just think that that's super healthy to recognize that in your partner and then in the communities around you, that we need connection, but in different ways. And that you, and I think that's just been one of the most empowering things for me, is to feel like I can be accountable and responsible and the one that initiates, and that I can be the one that invites, and I can be the one that encourages, and I can be the one that supports. And that's changed my worldview, because I'm not no longer waiting for people to like meet my needs or be the ones that fulfill my needs. It's like I'm meeting my own needs.
I'm very passionate about this too. So I love everything you're saying. Totally agree with all of it. Okay, Mackenzie, I have one last question for you, and that is, if there's one message that you want the person listening to this episode to remember, what do you want that one message to be?
Oh, such a good question. And I've loved this podcast interview. When you, I get on podcasts, they're usually just to pick my brain about business. And they could care less about my thoughts on like women chasing their passions and dreams. But I think that would be it. Like I'm assuming that the majority of your listeners are female. And
We have a
I
few male listeners, but yeah, a lot of
well,
females.
this is for you too. I think that society sends us a lot of mixed messages of like who we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be doing, the things that we're supposed to focus on, the areas in which we should be improving or like taking steps back in, right? And there's a lot of noise and clutter. And I think it's just like really honing in on what you feel like you are meant to do as a wife, a mother, a sister, a daughter, a friend, a coworker. And that can be hard to figure it out, but I think just like taking inventory of your life and like, okay, am I happy with like what my life looks like? I'm reading this book right now about like gardening and like slowing down and like becoming more connected with like the earth, and it's a really beautiful book, but it basically asks you in the beginning to like write down like what you want your life to become and like the things that you want your life to be focused on. And if the stuff in your life right now isn't serving those end goals, then remove the things that aren't and add the things that are.
Yeah. Ooh, what's the book?
It's called, I think it's just called The Milkwood. And it's a group, it's these two, I'll have to send you the link, but it's a couple out of Australia and they have like a perma, it's about like permaculture. So like plants and like just being more in tune with like nature and
Yeah.
like cycles of the earth and stuff. So it's kind of hippy dippy, but I love it.
Very cool.
But I think that that's just huge. It's like ask yourself that question, like, what do I want my focus and priority in life to be? And then are the things that I'm filling my day to day with meeting that or detracting from that?
Yeah.
And so if I could have anyone like respond with a review of this episode or reach out to you or reach out to me, not asking you to do that. I know Corinne would probably love that, right? Like, subscribe, review, rate, review. But to just say that they felt inspired to like cut back or add things that bring value to their life and like fill their cup.
Yeah, I love that. Well, where can people find you, Mackenzie, if they want to follow along with you or your business, your businesses? You have more than one.
Yeah, I have too many things going on. My Instagram is just Mackenzie Bauer, which you can connect with me there, or LinkedIn if you want to like talk more about business. I post a lot there about business specifically. But you can also follow Female Founders Only or Thread Wallets. That's great. I would love that. And if you have an idea or like you've got something that you're working on that you want someone to talk about or just to cheer you on, I'm your girl. I will be there. I'll get on a call with you. I'll answer your email and I'll be rooting for you no matter what you're doing.
Love it. Thank you so much, Mackenzie, for your time today. It was so wonderful.
Thank you. I really appreciate the conversation.
Thanks so much for listening to Mint Arrow Messages. We're so grateful that you spent time with us today. Make sure you go follow us at Corinne Stoko or at Mint Arrow Messages on Instagram. And then if you have a second and you love the show, I would love it so much if you'd leave a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts. That's the only way people can find out about us if they haven't heard about us before. So just go tap the stars, leave a rating or a review. If you have a second, we would appreciate it so much.